This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, September 9th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at some of the problems experienced by substance abuse treatment centers around the state as a result of state budget cuts. And we'll have a look at your forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Government and utility officials are insisting that neighbors of a Northside lot in Champaign shouldn't worry about the pollution underneath the site. Ameren and the State Environmental Protection Agency say the site off 5th and Hill Streets is still on schedule for cleanup next year. In the early part of the 20th century, Ameren's predecessor converted coal into gas at the site, leaving behind coal tar at least 10 feet under the surface. But the project manager for Ameren, Brian Martin, says the pollution is not affecting people's health, even though it's migrated slightly over the years into some neighboring lots.
And so just to make sure that there's no concern for people living in that house or those houses, we're going to do some soil gas sampling, more as a precaution than anything, just to kind of put people's minds at ease and make sure that they understand that they're not being affected.
Ameren and state officials held an open house Monday to explain the extent of the contamination and their plans to clean it up. Martin says that plan could include excavation or confining some of the tar underground to keep it from migrating more. Danville's mayor says it will require a combination of local funding sources to keep Kickapoo State Park open. It's slated to close November 1st due to state budget cuts. Mayor Scott Eisenhower says while he continues to appeal to state lawmakers to find a way to avert the closure, he's looking at ways for the city, Vermilion County, and the county's conservation district to share financing. But Eisenhower says that plan will take some time to put together, as the parties first must get an idea of what it costs the state to operate the 2,800-acre site.
Once we have that information available to us, then I think we're going to be able to more closely identify what the real bottom line will be in trying to bring Kickapoo State Park into the Vermilion County Conservation District. And then once we have established what that true number base is, really look at where those dollars and cents can come from.
The Vermilion County Conservation District already operates four parks, but Director Ken Consis says he's confident his group has the manpower to run Kickapoo as well. But the district, which already has a tax levy of around 9 cents, can only levy a cent more as allowed by law. Eisenhower says local officials still hope to avert the state's closure of the park altogether, saying it would be a blow to not only tourism, but the area's economic picture. He's been meeting with state lawmakers Bill Black and Mike Frericks the past couple of weeks. Champaign school board members say they now have a roadmap for better education in their district. Unit 4 school board took a first look last night at the proposed long-range strategic plan. It calls for beefing up the quality of faculty and staff as well as facilities over the next 15 years. Its priority list includes better discipline, a stronger foreign language program, and improved relations within the community. Unit 4 school board president Dave Tomlinson is convinced the plan will ensure better education in the district.
And the number one reason I think that is because there were over 350 community members involved in creating it. And it's not the seven of us, it's the community creating something that we can implement and the staff can implement. So it is absolutely makes the school district better. It's a start for holding the school district accountable for some of the things that people want us to accountable for.
The school board is scheduled to vote on the long-range plan next week. Tomlinson says if the plan passes, the first visible changes in education will be in the next school year. He says in between, the school board will work to get funding for capital improvement through a countywide sales tax referendum in November. Indiana's Commission on Higher Education wants state-supported colleges and universities to graduate 10,000 more students each year. That would be about a 33% increase, and the commission says the state needs to do that to keep up with other states. The commission's plan calls for ensuring not only that students can afford college, but also that they leave on time with degrees. The goal is to place Indiana among the top 10 states in the nation for degree completion in 2012. 8 good government groups are urging lawmakers in an open letter to reject changes Governor Rod Blagojevich made to 2 campaign finance reform bills. Illinois' Campaign for Political Reform, Illinois PIRG, and others say Blagojevich's mandatory vetoes are maneuvers designed to undermine or kill the legislation. Lawmakers will consider the vetoes this fall. One measure banned political contributions from those with government contracts of $50,000 or more to the office holder overseeing the contract. The governor changed it to prohibit contributions to any office holder and made other changes and used another bill to ban contributions from anyone who holds a government job. Thomas Fitzgerald has been sworn in as the next Chief Justice of Illinois Supreme Court. Fitzgerald's colleagues unanimously chose him in May for the 3-year leadership term. Outgoing Chief Justice Bob Thomas swore in the 67-year-old Fitzgerald yesterday. Fitzgerald's judicial career started in Cook County in the mid-70s. He served as supervising judge of the county's traffic court and was part of a Supreme Court committee on capital punishment cases before being elected to the High Court in 2000. He'll oversee the court and set its schedule as Chief Justice, along with becoming the top administrative officer for Illinois' court system. A Rockville, Indiana farm is honoring National Guard members and their families with a corn maze. The maze at Hobson's Farm in western Indiana forms the shape of the Indiana National Guard insignia and the logo of the headquarters and headquarters company's 76th Brigade Family Readiness Group. The group is affiliated with the 76th Infantry Brigade Combat Team of the Indiana National Guard, which is currently deployed in Iraq. The Hobsons have a family member in the 76th and wanted to honor troops and their families with the maze. On September 20th, the first day of the maze is open, the farm will donate $1 of each $6 admission to the military and military families. A Champaign woman is among 5 winners of the annual Heinz Awards for Arts and Humanities. Brenda Krause Ahart is being lauded for her plan to raise foster kids in a multi-generational setting. She founded Generations of Hope in Hope Meadows in Rantoul, where foster children, their adoptive parents, and seniors live as neighbors. Adoptive families live rent-free in homes where they agree to take in 3 to 4 children, with a stay-at-home parent earning a salary. Ahart will receive one of the 5 awards of $250,000. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bonser. These are tough times for Illinois' drug and alcohol treatment centers. Some have had to lay off employees and roll back programs. The governor reduced funding as part of budget balancing. Jenna Dilley reports on the impact the cuts are having.
Stephen Knox directs the Triangle Center in Springfield. The center offers inpatient and outpatient services, including detox and methadone treatment. Along with the main facility in Springfield, the organization has another unit in Springfield and also in Taylorville. Knox says the satellite locations will close shortly due to the cuts. He says he was forced to lay off 15 of his 70 employees when his budget was slashed 25%, or more than $350,000 over the summer. He says the Triangle Center will retain the same services, but the waiting period will be longer. His frustration is obvious, and he says during his decades in the treatment field, the situation has never been so dire, and he says it's difficult sometimes to get public support.
In the field of alcohol and drug abuse, we don't have poster children. And there are still a lot of people out there who think that people who have problems with alcohol and other drugs simply lack will.
He says the well-known 28-day stay is the old way of treating patients. Now, he says, each individual is assessed separately, and their stay may be a couple of weeks or a couple of months, depending on their needs. But Knox says that's better than spending the time filling up beds in the local hospitals. Knox says he expects the fallout from the cuts will come when it's too late to restore vital treatment options.
Usually, when something like this happens, there's a signature event. Something happens. Someone gets drunk, gets in the car, crosses the line, and destroys a family. And when that happens, all those involved look at each other and say, how could this be?
Less than an hour away in Jacksonville, Bruce Carter is the executive director of the Wells Center. It offers residential and outpatient detox programs and prevention services for adults and treats adolescents on an outpatient basis. Carter says they serve about 2,000 patients every year. It's been a fixture in the Jacksonville community for roughly 40 years. Carter says the treatment budget at the Wells Center was reduced by 40% this summer, totaling more than $640,000. He says the Jacksonville Treatment Center will have to lay off 15 people at the end of November if the cuts aren't restored. And he says he's losing confidence that the money will be put back into the budget.
There's only been one other time that we've had to lay people off, and it's not been this severe. So this is by far the most serious I've ever seen it.
At the Wells Center, patients spend anywhere from 2 weeks to several months in treatment. And he says one repercussion of the cuts is the difficult spot it puts the court system in.
Any juveniles that are being referred by the court system will be a priority that we will try to get in as soon as possible. But just at some point, they will just have to wait longer for services.
A judge or probation officer can refer a person to substance abuse services while they are on probation. Mike Torsha is the director of the Sangamon County Adult Probation Department. He estimates half of those on probation need some type of substance abuse intervention.
Because if somebody's an addict, I mean, it's very difficult for them to change their behavior without some type of intervention going on. So, you know, we could potentially see more technical violations, them continue to use drugs. I mean, we could see potential of them, out there committing crimes because we're still under the influence. So, I mean, that's something that we potentially could see down the road.
A spokesman for the governor's office says the cuts were difficult decisions, ones they did not want to make. The governor's office says despite the reductions to substance abuse treatment, money for other important needs was spared. The administration lists AIDS research, rape crisis centers, and Amtrak to make that point. There is a possibility House lawmakers will restore some or all of the cuts when they return to Springfield this week for a special session. But even if the money is put back into the state budget, there's no guarantee substance abuse treatment facilities will benefit, because there is a long line of groups whose budgets were cut. I'm Jenna Dooley.
In the forecast for the region today, becoming mostly sunny during the morning with a high only in the upper 60s. Clear skies tonight, the low around 45. Sunny skies tomorrow, the high 75. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 52. Partly sunny Thursday, the high around 80. Mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms Thursday evening, the low around 62. For Friday, mostly cloudy, again a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high around 78. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, September 9th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.